Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to episode 21 of Road to Ironman 2020. We are 5 weeks out, it's 4.5 nearly, actually, I think more likely. So a huge part or a huge focus for I think all of us at the moment is how to make sure we are recovering after each session and on a weekly basis so we can go into our taper and get to the race fresh on the start line. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really tired. I passed out for like an hour and a half this afternoon and I'm eating like a freaking horse, which is all part of recovery. So what are you guys, how are you guys feeling at the moment? Renzo?
I'm feeling well. I tell you what, the last couple of weeks I've been feeling very broken. And today we did a long run and I'm very proud to say that I got home and I had a shower and I recovered all of my sweaty clothes into the dishwasher, and got rid of all of my sweaty clothes, and then after my shower, I just lay on the couch and Netflixed the entire day.
Did you Netflix and chill?
I did. I took my son to Bounce. He spent 5 hours there today, and then Marley and I just lay on the couch and just watch Netflix all afternoon.
What did you watch Iron Man clips or documentaries? No, I hope it was something.
I'm not going to give you any more information about what I watched for fear that my manhood will be questioned. They're all chick flicks.
That's okay.
Gerard, your turn.
it feels like I need to start with hi, my name is Gerard and I'm a recovering, or trying to be a recovering triathlete.
Jeez.
Just with all the things that we've been busy with. But yeah, I'm doing really well. I think my mind is in the right space. All the things that we've been doing with regards to plant-based eating and these drips that we've been getting and at work, everything is falling into place nicely, and I just think I'm getting to a point where I'm finding that balance, which I think is something that I'm really glad it's happening now, because these last 4 or 5 weeks before Ironman is crunch time. Like we spoke about last week, it's now just important to make sure that we stay away from getting sick, etc. But I had a very, very tough run this afternoon. I wanted to do 90 minutes but ended up just doing I think about 40 or something, so my long run or semi-long run has now been shifted to tomorrow night. But I think that I don't want to say that's part of recovery, but instead of almost like going balls to the walls and would have felt horrible after an hour and a half with the heat, I just decided, you know what, let's cut it short, let's walk away feeling all right. And let's do it tomorrow night at 7 when it's cooler. Let's not try now and be stubborn and do something for the sake of not worried about what people's going to say on Strava. Why did you not turn around and run back? Because I literally ran to the gym and waited for Christine to finish swimming. But I think it's important now to realize that you've put in the hard work. There's no reason why you now need to go and do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing the Hemel and Arda marathon on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's why he's got like quite a chilled week. Well, low mileage week, put it that way.
That's quite a tough marathon, isn't it? Some serious climbs in that marathon, if I'm not mistaken.
It's the first one, or it's a new one on the calendar. So it will be the first one that it's first time that it's happening this year. Elevation is about 700, but there's about a kilometer descent.
Okay.
So the last 14 k's is literally downhill all the way into Hermanus.
Nice.
Yeah. So looking forward to
seeing. I just remember the time I've spent in that part of the world, and there are lots of hills. Then yeah. I was driving up just to the wine farms.
Oh yeah, it starts in Caledon, and then it ends in Hermanus. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So. It's gonna be a good weekend.
But yeah, when it comes to recovery, I think obviously we're fortunate that Christine is here. She comes with a lot of knowledge. I'm literally, how can I say, there's certain aspects and concepts that opens up to me, and like a couple of new things that I've tried and still trying over the last couple of months that's helping me. Besides trying these things out, also just understand it and see how my body reacts to it. But obviously we all know recovery is so...
Mm-hmm.
Such a big part of your training, and something that I've become very aware of is my perceived effort and how I feel. So sometimes I'll rather sleep an hour extra in the morning and shift the training session into the evening, just for the sake of trying to feel better. So those are like small changes that I make without feeling guilty, because I still get the session in, but it's actually doing me more good than how can I say it, disappointment of not being able to get to the sessions.
Because I think so often people, and I'm just really obviously speaking generally, but I think so often people assume that recovery is rest or complete and inactivity. And recovery is not only about the physical exercise that you're doing. You can, like, your nutrition's recovery, your sleep is recovery, your emotional watching chick flicks on a Sunday afternoon is recovery. Like, it's all, like, recovery has to be a inside and out activity for it to actually have benefits for you. And you can still, like, today was my recovery day, but I went and did a really cool swim and enjoyed it just to give my body a break. I slept in a little bit later than normal and, like, really didn't exert myself. And I think from a coach hat on quick point of view, you know, the magic happens when we recover. We don't get fit while we're actually training in the middle of a long bike ride. The way we recover will help us get fitter, not just doing that ride and then the next day smashing out another one just like it, or, you know, having a terrible night's sleep and eating terribly for 4 days. That's not going to help you get the benefit out of that long bike ride or that long run or whatever the case is. And so often, I think people look at pro athletes or whether it's Usain Bolt or whether it's top triathletes in the world, top runners, and they say, yeah, but these guys are so lucky. They've got so much time to exercise. That's why they're good at what they do. And it's not that. Their recovery is optimal from getting off a hectic session, having food, sleep, physio, sports massage, some strapping, you know, all of that. Their recovery is what makes them perform, in my opinion, and what helps them to be the best that they can be, not necessarily the amount of time they have to train. We actually need to make time to recover as well as making time to train. So that's my, like, I feel very, very strongly about it, for myself and for my coaching clients as well. It's something that I strongly suggest, that you really pay attention, understanding what recovery means for you, because it's not the same for everyone else. It's not the same.
No, absolutely. I mean, some of the tools that I use for recovery, I would love to be a professional athlete. I would love to have the opportunity to learn what I need to and just do the sport and have the recovery time and have the nutrition time and all of that stuff. But of course I'm not. So, well, none of us are, right? So we're just kind of doing what we do because we love what we do. But, I mean, one of the things that I, and Christine, you'll know about this from the CrossFit world, one of the the gifts that I brought with me from the CrossFit world is a website called ROMWOD.
Yes.
And I love ROMWOD because it's designed to improve mobility in CrossFit, but it's so brilliant because, well, so I mean, it's not a punt for them. It's just a recovery tool that I use where I can log in every day. It doesn't cost me a lot of money. I can log in every day and I can either follow their workout or I can choose my own. And it's 25 minutes of focused stretching. And I can choose my target muscle groups, and that really helps my recovery, because it is really helping with the mobility of the muscles that are overused. I mean, while we're sitting here talking, I'm working on recovery. I've got a lacrosse ball and I'm rolling my feet. Because, I mean, how many thousands of steps do we take when we run? And how many thousands of hours are we spending on our feet and exhausting the muscles and the tendons and the bones in our feet? And so I'm just, yeah, I mean, it's these small things that just contribute. Also, I was just chatting to my partner now about the fact that in the next week I want to see a chiro, and I want to just go for not a sports massage, just kind of a relaxed, almost spa massage. Just to, you know, gently just work with my muscles because they're so overused at the moment. And that really, I think, helps with the with just the overall alignment and well-being. And then mentally, for my holistic recovery, mentally, I'm working on getting back into the habit of meditation. So I won't say I meditate 7 days a week or five or three or four or whatever it is, but it's starting to build that habit again of just spending 20 minutes a day clearing my mind and just kind of breathing. Because our sport is quite demanding, right? I mean, Gerard, you were talking about it. You're finding the balance between work and training and of course family, the kids and home, and all of that requires a lot of focused effort. And there's not a lot of breathing room in making sure that all of those balls are up in the air balanced.
Yeah, no, I do find that the one, not constant, but the one important factor for me that I've been doing or trying to work on religiously for the past probably month. So obviously you need to be comfortable in your work in terms of doing what you need to do and spending time with the kids and paying the bills, and so there's a lot of things, but eating healthy and going for these trips, etc. But one thing that I've been very cautious in maintaining is I try and sleep, it's not going to sound funny, but it's about 6 hours and 7 minutes every night. So if I fall asleep very quickly, so I can literally climb in the bed at like 6 hours 15 before I need to wake up, and at like 6 hours 10, it takes me 5 minutes and I'm asleep. And if I wake up around that six hours 5 minutes mark, I wake up almost like alert, but in a very relaxed, I had a good rest type of way. I can get up and I can get going again. If I sleep half an hour more than that, or half an hour less, then my whole day, my body feels a little bit heavier. I concentrate a little bit less. Yes, some training will help, especially running, to just release the endorphins, to get rid of the cortisol, etc. That will help. But I do find that if I do everything else right and I can stick to this just over 6 hours sleep pattern, that I can literally go for a week with heavy training, a lot of work demands, and sorting everything else out in between, and I can maintain it. There is those moments, like you say about the meditating. So I literally these days, it's like literally when I fly somewhere and I take off and land, well, when I can't use my phone or my laptop, where I just like close my eyes and zone out. And that's also something I want to explore, to do that more on a daily basis, where you literally can teach, because to just try and quiet your mind for 10 seconds is probably one of the most difficult things to do. So that's also something I definitely want to, go and explore a little bit more. But for me, the sleep is almost like the center of everything else that I'm doing.
Now, I have to say, I mean, that's my Achilles heel. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm in a lot of trouble. That's why I give you two such a hard time when we're scheduling these podcasts. Because I know 3:45 in the morning, I've got to be up. I'm hella high water. So I sit there and I count the hours back and I go, no, that's too late. I've got to sleep.
No, sleep is precious.
Are you, because our grocery bill is like a lot more than what it normally is this month. Like, oh, okay. Look, he's showing me the hand. Is yours just out of control?
I don't know. I cannot believe how much food I'm consuming. And I'm trying to be clear. So I'm really trying to be clever. We're trying to find interesting ways to manage our grocery bill. So I found a lady who delivers fresh produce, veggies and stuff, at quite an affordable rate, twice a week she delivers to our area. So, we that's lacking.
Yeah.
It's a lot cheaper than going to Woolies or whatever, but Jesus, still.
What's your go-to kind of food besides pasta and gin?
And gin? That was in December. I haven't had gin for 2 months.
Really? Well, that's brilliant. Well done.
No, I have wine every night, though.
Okay.
Sure. So actually, it's interesting because I realized that my go-to has been refined carbohydrates, and that's becoming a problem. There's just too much of that, and it's too easy, so it's becoming this default. And that's got to change. So we were becoming a little lacking in creativity in terms of good, clean eating that is delivering the right quality of protein and carbohydrates, so the macros into my diet and our diet, but mine in particular. And so literally, Madeline and I were just talking this weekend about how we need to drop all of those refined carbohydrates out of our habit. But I will tell you this, it's hard to answer your question other than saying, yes, pasta has become a go-to, and that's a problem. So I'm changing that now. I've cut red meat out of my diet substantially. In fact, the only red meat we have at the moment is when I buy mince, because we're making like a bolognese sauce or something.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the only meat we're eating is chicken and a bit of fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy about that. It's quite interesting because my body has gone off red meat completely, and not consciously or anything. It's just not interested.
And it's not like you're missing it.
No, not at all.
No.
But my go-to has been on my long rides, right? And Christine, I blame you 1,000% for this. I don't have a bra, okay?
I hope it's not in your underpants.
No, but literally, it's like a chicken mayo or chicken mayo, egg mayo sandwich.
That's awesome.
Hey, sometimes it's chicken and egg mayo sandwich.
If it works, it works. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's it. So I haven't really answered your question, but I'm really working hard to move into a cleaner diet and a more veggie-based diet, actually. And it's not because I'm consciously becoming vegetarian or anything like that. It's just I need cleaner food.
It actually simplifies life quite a lot when you start living that way. I found that with our change to more whole foods and no meat and dairy and things, it's really like, it's not complicated. It seemed more complicated before, and now it doesn't. So,
and you make the food, to make the food is so quick. I mean, because it's not a piece of meat that you need to wait until it's medium rare or medium or well done or whatever you want it. It's literally just almost like heat it up and you go. So I think I don't even think about it, but I think we save time.
Yeah, we save quite a lot of time. Even shopping simple, we've literally got the same shopping list every week. And like we're not people that, like, we love food, but it doesn't, like, we make different things with the same shopping list every single week. So that's kind of taken a lot of complication out of this busy time during Ironman to now think about creative ways to make food. Like, we're not really worrying about that. It's pretty straightforward.
But also, because I think this is where you are leaning towards, Renzo, almost, it's like your body is thanking you for putting the good stuff in. And the more you like feel that great feeling or sensation, or you feel better recovered or whatever the benefits are, you almost want to do it more. So when you get to that point where you're doing it like us for a long period, sneaking in something on the side and your body almost like rejects it and you feel horrible, it's like, oh yes, I'm not gonna go and do that again, like eat a piece of cake or whatever it was. And I think just naturally your body leans towards the healthier stuff, because it's just obviously saying yes, thank you, that's actually what. And naturally then that's going towards, like in your case, your white meats and veggies.
Yeah, 100%. But I do have to say, on the flip side of that coin, right, is, so when I was doing CrossFit, I got very into the CrossFit way of eating, which is very kind of low-carb, high-fat based, a lot of protein, all clean foods, no refined foods at all, as you know, and no dairy, no sugar. And so I did that religiously, and it really was good for me. So I cut out a lot of processed food, and I would never, for argument's sake, exercise and then entertain the idea of having something like an energy. But I have to tell you that three times today on my long run, we stopped at a water break and I had an energy and it was fantastic. My body didn't complain for one second. It was very grateful for the sugar and of course the water and all of it.
Yeah.
Whatever other rubbish was in there.
Yeah, but it's important to listen, almost like listen to those cravings as well. I mean, every now and again, we will get like Coke Zero. I can't finish even a whole can. It's probably like half a can, then I'm happy. My body just like, okay, thanks for that. That's what I needed. And almost like, I don't want to say stepping out of line, because I mean, Coke Zero is probably as close to healthy as we can get, but it's also not being afraid to just listen to, okay, well, I need a little bit of this or I need a bit of that, and not feel guilty about it, because if you are 95% of the time doing the right thing, there is some space for some fun in between.
Exactly. And and so when the opportunity for cake presents itself, I don't feel the need to say no. Because I like to be winning and to burn all of those calories. It's fine. And then some.
I had a big slice of vegan cake on my birthday or the night before.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was massive. I don't like the icing that much because it's just too thick for me, but the cake part is like, oh.
Yes, it was the best. It was the best chocolate cake I've actually ever had. Never mind, like, vegan or not, like, it was the best chocolate cake I've ever had. And I'm a big cake fan, a huge cake fan. So
no, just... she bought it for me, but she ate more than me.
Yeah.
That's why you have to, like, scrounge up a few Oreos and crumble them into you.
Yeah. Life is tough here.
And whatever. But... No, seriously, like, one of the biggest benefits now, we'll get to my recovery and my chafing soon, but one of my biggest benefits f- from a food perspective, is my recovery has never, ever, ever, ever been as good as good. I don't like that word, as
effective.
Yeah, one of those words. It's never been what it is today before I stopped eating meat. Being on a plant-based whole food diet 99% of the time has really made a huge difference to my recovery from a food perspective. And I find that I don't crave a lot of, like, I've always had a very sweet tooth, so it's been like I've never been really a chip fan or like salty things, but it's my whole life has been sweets or chocolates and things like that, and I don't really crave them anymore. I really don't have those cravings. Every now and again I will, but it's not like it used to be almost a habit in my life. And I crave vegetables, I crave fresh food, I crave like real meals, which is awesome. But like as we were talking now, like you've got your ball, we were both sipping on some Biogen electrolytes and some water. We've just had all our supplements and things like that, which is nothing super fancy, just the standard things like magnesium, and there's vitamin C, the electrolytes, especially because of the weather. So, and what I found is also in the heat, you know, the temperatures that we feel or that we experience now are considered in Europe, they're extreme, like heat wave type of temperatures. So that's something I've been very conscious of. Also because of my blood clot, I need to make sure I'm hydrated all the time. And hydration's not just water, it's also electrolytes and salts and sodium and all of that jazz. So that's the one thing that we're both pretty religious about, and that I drink a lot of water and keep hydrated all the time as part of my rehydration. I mean, it's part of my recovery. And then I also go and get a sports massage about every 2 weeks. I've got another one on Friday. And then I'm going to my physio as well anyway. I haven't got anything wrong. I just feel very tight in my neck and back. So I'm just going to get some dry needling done there, which I do pretty regularly with the same person. So it's really maintenance, like anything, like I do consistently. It's not just once off. We'll go and get another drip the week before Ironman as well. And I think that's what contributes to sort of sustainable recovery, where you're always able to recover quickly. So what else do I do? Sleep. I do struggle to fall asleep a lot, but I'm finding I'm sleeping. Actually, also since the plant-based transition that I made, my sleep has improved tremendously. I sleep a lot more uninterrupted. So it might take me maybe half an hour to fall asleep, but then I sleep straight through. And I've never been someone that can sleep on a Sunday afternoon. And today, and like a lot of weekends, and sometimes during the week, if I structure my day carefully, I can get a 40-minute power nap in when everyone else is at work.
Sounds like a pro athlete.
So I've been focusing on trying to get my sleep habits better, but the GABA and the drips has really helped. And also just eating right has helped me a lot. And then, yeah, like let's get to the nitty gritty of a lot of the things that we suffer from. Like I don't chafe. So I don't chafe even on running. Like every now and again, there's a little bit of a rub, but it's not a problem that I have. But my back, sure, it's been quite a journey. So yeah, I need to, after every ride, I give myself a bit of TLC and like try and break my rides up, like maybe every second day, because that's also part of recovery. You can't keep like nailing yourself like that day after day. Like it's going to become a bigger problem than what it is. So that's something I find. But I also know why, and I mentioned it to you this weekend, because I've changed the way I'm using my gears and how I'm using my gears and how I'm riding has had a huge impact on how much I've been chafing. So
you're starting to use your gears more.
Yeah, well, I'm riding in a bigger gear now and a lower gear instead of spinning out so much. So I realized what I was doing, and then I read up about the side effects of that, and a huge one was like severe chafing. So I was like, maybe that's actually, that's Yeah, that's a real thing. So,
I got to tell you the story, right? There's a person who will remain nameless that I've ridden with, and just in case he or she is listening to this podcast, okay, it's a he. But, I'll say that alone. So we do a ride, and it's a long ride. We're on the bike for 5.5 hours. We're halfway through the ride, and we stop to get water and let the group come together again. And we look at his bike, and there's just this white stuff all over his bike, below the saddle. And we're like, what the hell is that? And he says, no, man, it's my chamois cream. He's so scared of chafing that he puts on like a whole tub of the stuff, and then it starts foaming because he's sweating so much that it's dripping off him, and it's all down his legs, and it's all over his back. He's covered in this white stuff, and it doesn't look very good.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So he takes chafing to the next level, or anti-chafing to the next level.
The struggle is real, hey? Sure.
Listen, I want to say this as well. And I know this is a family show, but I'm a man, so I don't think it sounds too bad. I used to hear comrades runners talking about their nipples chafing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to say, like, what's wrong with you people? I just didn't get it. And then even when I started running with my triathlon training, my Ironman training, the guys would complain about it, and I would be like, is that a thing? And then, you know, with the humidity that we've had in Durban over the last 2 months and the heat over the last 2 months, it's been proper. I mean, you can't leave and be 5Ks into the run and you're not dripping, soaking wet already. And suddenly I got a glimpse of how real the problem is. When you're in a long ride, and then we got a brick run afterwards, so you're out for six, seven hours. And I come back and my nipples will be raw. And I found the solution. So one of the my recovery solution, right, is I was gifted a little bottle of Body Glide.
Yes.
When I did Durban Half, so that my wetsuit doesn't chafe me. And I put some of that on my chest for my heart rate strap and for my nipples, and they don't chafe. And it's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I've let
you. It works for bicycle chafing too, by the way.
I've also got my chamois cream is like also white, so I actually got a fright the first time I washed them because there was just this thick white stuff like all over the inside of my shorts, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, has my body malfunctioned like while I've been riding, like what the hell's going on here? And then it doesn't come out, so like every time I put them on the washing line I actually get a fright because they're like white and it's terrible. I also like overdo it a bit, I think. And what's your down and dirty story, Gerard?
I must admit, I'm laughing now because I saw this one guy, literally, he gave up with nipple rash and he literally cut holes in his shirt to just like run with it.
Yeah.
It solves the problem because he used every kind of plaster that he could find, but nothing helped. So he just decided, you know what, I'm going to cut my shirt.
Yeah, but people suggested plasters to me, and I just said, with the hairs on my chest, ain't going to happen.
Or you see the guys running with their hands in their shirt, just like making some space. But yeah, I must admit, I've been lucky. I've not... I mean, obviously I get a numb bum, if that's the right word, while if I ride for 5-6 hours, but I just shift around, it does help. And then, yeah, the chafing, I don't put anything on while I'm riding the bike, but I do, I did that at the beginning with running, like Vaseline, and I don't know if I just got used to running in the same type of underwear, or I say the same type, I mean like the same design and the same shorts. And I've never, you know, probably in the last year used Vaseline, but I do obviously use it for the wetsuit, especially at the back, because that can sometimes be a little bit irritating. But yeah, other than that, I think I'm lucky. It's just I've not been, how can I say it, forced to come up with these creative solutions to try and counter it.
One thing that is really, that is a part of recovery, and in this sport called triathlon or in any endurance sport, it does become quite an obsession. You know, you, it becomes your focus and it's so easy to get consumed by it. So what we've done, especially the last, probably from about middle of December, is try and schedule something like every second weekend that is completely unrelated. Even if it's a social event with friends that hate exercise or something, just to get away from the routine of just getting it done. So that's why for the marathon this weekend, we actually are going away. We're going to go stay in Hermanus on Friday and Saturday night. And it's really just a weekend away after the marathon. I know there's like the marathon in it, but it's just that break and that mental sort of recovery from a lot of the week's stress. Because I find by Friday, I'm quite like, sure, my mind is so busy about thinking about everything Ironman. And those weekends and that bit of downtime and often that bit of sleep, maybe some extra food, like all of that stuff really goes a long way. And just, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I think it's quite important. Well, very, very important.
Very important. Now, and I had that earlier this year in January where we went away for 4 days to the Cape and it was work. So we worked hard during the day, but it was a change of scenery. It was a change of the way we did things. And I was still training. I mean, I still had some decent runs while I was there. But it just because it was a change of scenery, it became recovery as well.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and I need that now. I've got to be honest, I'm starting to become a little worn down by, I mean, it's been over a year of concentrated focus on endurance, on ultra events. So,
if Murray Lee is listening, I think Renzo needs a spa day booked for him with cocktails and wine.
Netflix and chill.
I'm going to make sure he hears that. Don't worry.
There's some awesome places where you guys are, like in Durban. There's some beautiful pamper places and,
That's definitely going to happen. And coincidentally, Ironman is just after her birthday. So she'll have a late birthday present. It'll be a present for me too.
Actually, like the weekend, the Friday of Ironman is a year exactly since we first met. Well, it's the
26th.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's the Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a Thursday. Okay, we'll sort this logistics out on our side. But the point is, we would have known each other for a year on the weekend of Ironman.
Yeah.
So
that's lucky. Well, yeah. So on the 1st of April, so just after Ironman, literally, three days after, it's our 8th anniversary.
Yes, yeah.
On the 1st of April?
Yeah.
On April Fool's Day.
Exactly. We can never forget that one, so it's fine.
Exactly. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
8 years, sure.
Yeah, but I think...
Anyway, Renzo needs his recovery sleep and maybe a late night snack.
I'm going to go make some pasta.
I think there's still some Oreos left.
There are like 4 Oreos left in the cupboard this side, so I'm waiting.
No, I tell you what, I haven't bought Oreos. Since I saw that video clip of you and the yogurt and the Oreos, it just sounded so cool. Coconut yogurt with Oreos crumble, it just sounds fantastic. And I haven't bought them because, A, the coconut yogurt won't last in my house if my son finds it. And B, Oreos will go even faster. So I get none of it.
But you know what you must do? If you're traveling this week, go to Woolworths and buy the little pots of coconut yogurt, the small one, and then you buy those little travel snack packs of Oreos. And you can really decadently like sit in your hotel room and like just enjoy them without fear of anyone else finding them.
I'm flying up to Johannesburg tomorrow, and that's going to be my treat somewhere in the day.
Here's the deal. When you do it, take a video. We're going to post it on Ironman, our Road to Ironman page.
I will.
Challenge accepted.
Because I know how hard it is to make videos. So yes, I will.
Just ask the flight attendant to record it for you. And then you crumble it in.
Just tell whoever's taking it that you're a food influencer, top food influencer visiting Johannesburg.
Coconut yogurt and Oreos. I'm a top food influencer.
Oh, man.
I tell you what, clearly part of recovery is talking a whole lot of trash.
I feel better, so it must work.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, but I've got a 2-hour run tomorrow morning at 4, so yeah, I need to get into bed as well anyway.
Tell us quickly, what's the overall structure plan for the rest? I mean, we got 5.5 weeks until rest day. It's what, today, 5 weeks. Like in 5 weeks' time, at this time, we'll be sitting drinking beer together after the race.
I might be sipping on an Energade halfway through the run, but yeah, I'll go with that.
No, you'll be done.
Yeah, it's literally 5 weeks.
Yeah, it is 5 weeks today.
5 weeks from now, hopefully we're busy coming in.
if my coach is right, then I'll be done. I'll be waiting for you guys.
Yeah, you will
be. We'll be crossing this together. But okay, so seriously, so how does the framework of the training look? I mean, you've got a deload week coming up? Because
you've
got the marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so his is different to mine because I'm not going to do a marathon. I don't need to do one. He's obviously got comrades as a goal. So I don't need to do that now. So for me, our combined goal is to do, we're going to do 150K bike ride, like as our last long run in the next 2 weeks. Just because we can't fit it in this weekend. So it's going to end up the 14th. It's 2 weeks before, but yeah, that's when we can fit it in. And yeah, our tape will be quite aggressive going into that week. And those long rides don't kill us.
Yeah.
Not like a run. My last long run is going to be on the 7th, like that next weekend. So I'm going to probably do like a 32 and that's it. That's my last long run done. And then everything after that, my plan for the rest of the month is just to keep the momentum of everything I've been doing, but just to start cutting mileage from the longer stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, but in a nutshell, like in a very simplified way to explain it, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Okay.
And then also, my shorter sessions will have higher intensity as well. So I'm going to keep up with my speed work, but I probably will be doing more hundreds and 200s, not 800. So my mileage will be the thing that I'm going to play with now, particularly. Okay. And you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's I'm looking forward to the marathon. If all goes well, I would like to do a PB, but it's not the main focus. If I just end up enjoying it and having a good run, it's just to see where I'm at for my comrades goal after Ironman. And then yeah, I'm following suit with Christine. I feel I'm I'm ready. I just obviously want to maintain and make sure that I don't lose any overall fitness, especially on the cycling and the swimming side. And yeah, then I'm very attentive to not shake hands and stand close to somebody that's busy sneezing. I don't want to be obsessive, but I can't help myself to worry about something happening.
What if I get sick? Am I going to have to move out?
One word,
Airbnb. That sounds good.
And you, Renzo?
No, no, exactly. This is, well, you're pretty much the same. I mean, it's so next weekend, a lot of the guys are doing Durban Ultra. Mm. So weekends, obviously, are typically our long training sessions. So yeah, we'll probably have a fairly long training session next weekend. Mm. Those aren't doing Durban Ultra, so I'm not. But we're going to also start cutting back the mileage. I've got one my longest run yet will be probably coming up in about 2, maybe 3 weeks, 35Ks, and then it will be it. And then it's the same. It's just working on speed, the intensity and the short training, spark leg, interval training, that kind of thing. On the bike and on the run, and pretty much in the swim too. We've been pushing longer distances in the pool with high intensity over the last couple of weeks. But it's really getting into a phase now where we've got maybe one deload week, one heavy week, and then it's just going to be going into taper.
Yeah.
So we...
But yeah, as a quick side before we close off, these deload weeks are also a huge part of recovery. So, you know, just cutting back, like that's what we've done for all the weeks where we've done our long runs. The next week we do a shorter long run, like significantly shorter. Like I did a 3 hour last week. This week is 1 hour 45 to 2 hours. Then next week I'll do 3:15 and then cut back. And then, so that's how... Like those deload weeks are crucial. But it doesn't matter how fit you are, how amazingly gifted you are, talented physically, you need those deload weeks to actually conserve your energy and recover. So that's a good point to mention.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool bananas.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, speaking of that, I'm hungry again. Just saying.
I'm going to recover with some Oreos.
Alrighty. But have a safe trip. Yeah,
thank you.
We'll chat to you soon.
Yes, I'll send you a video of my coconut yogurt and Oreos.
It's a deal. Cheers.
Cheers, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Have a good one. Cheers, bye.